Luke chapter 2, verse 41. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to the custom. After the feast was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was with their company, they traveled for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why are you searching for me?" he asked. "Don't you know? I should be in my father's house." But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. And his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And as Jesus grew up, he increased in wisdom and in favor with God and with people. We're looking just at the life of Jesus now as he begins to grow up as a man. So this sermon really is for anybody who is 12. Anybody here who's 12? No, there's nobody here 12. So you've all got to imagine you're 12. All right? So it's for 12-year-olds. And actually, that's quite an exciting time, isn't it? Because you're on the threshold of manhood. You're on the threshold of womanhood. You are beginning to change, and there's all these dynamic things that your life is away in front of you. Now, if you're very, very small, I want you to try and be very quiet for me. And if you really are very quiet, there's a big present that I want you to help me to unwrap. And it's one of my gifts for Christmas. I love getting Christmas gifts, don't I? And do you? Anybody doesn't? But there's also something in there for you as well. So it depends how quiet you all are. So if you're 12, you can talk back to me. If you're not. All right? So, Jesus at 12, the boy growing into a man. Actually, you know, we sing once in... what's the one we sing? We sing this hymn. I can't remember it. Carol Service. And it's about the baby awakes and little... Lord Jesus, no crying he makes.
Away in a manger.
Ah, you've got it in one. Away in a manger. And, you know, the sentiment of it is really good in one sense. And then it goes on to say, here's our childhood's pattern. All a Christian children, obedient, should be like him. Well, that, I think I can only relate to that personally in the latter part of his life, in the sense that in the carol it says, when he awakes, he didn't cry. Like ever? Like, you know, we can sanitize Jesus into something that he never was. And I bet he cried a lot of times. He was fully human, like we are human. But this boy, remarkably, it just says, and actually it says in verse 40, and the child grew and became strong, was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. So now you're all 12 years old, and if I wanted anything for you as a 12-year-old, I would want you to grow up in wisdom and in stature, and I'd want you to become strong in spirit and to be filled with wisdom and the grace of God to be upon your life. What aspiration would you go for in anything of 2016? What resolution do you want to make, or what thing do you want? But wouldn't it be marvelous if we could all grow a little bit more in the grace and goodness and kindness of God and in wisdom and stature? And actually, that's what he did from that baby. He grew and grew and grew in those capacities until at 12, he was a remarkable young man. At 12 years old, he was able to astonish the scholars of his day, the moral teachers. All the people were astonished at his teaching. I think that's fantastic, don't you? That actually, he was the boy wonder of his age. And, you know, it's even more when you think of it. I mean, I just think back when you were 12. Think back when you were 11. Think back what you were like. I mean, it says here that he listened, for instance. He not only answered questions, but as a 12-year-old, he listened to them. How many parents have got a problem with their child? He doesn't listen. How many wives say that never changed? And, you know, he listened. He had the capacity to listen. He wasn't just all answers, all kind of, you know, I've got the solution. There was something about Jesus that was teachable in it. He was learning, growing, developing, moving on. And they were amazed at his apprehension and his ability, his critical faculty. It wasn't just like understanding, you know, like mastermind. I mean, the difference between mastermind and university challenge, say, for instance, is I got one of those questions right the other day in university challenge. It was about Morecambe and Wise. But that kind of intelligence is only knowledge. It's just that you have better knowledge. It's all like stored up knowledge. It's not necessarily wisdom and insight and perception and discernment. Those are different qualities. They come from something else. They come from, well, ultimately they come from heaven above. You know, God is wise. If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask God and God will give it to him. So you can get instruction and wisdom. And the difference between these things, for instance, I don't know where I heard it, but look in here, what I've got in here. Questions. Is this a fruit or a vegetable?
Fruit. It's an apple.
It's an apple. You know, we're looking at Jesus being intelligent. Fruit or vegetable?
Fruit.
Fruit or vegetable?
Fruit.
Tomato. How many say it's a vegetable? No, it's a fruit. Believe it or not, it's a fruit. Now, that's a piece of knowledge that you've got. You've come this morning, and if you didn't know that before now, you can go away and put that in your file. But listen, the difference between knowledge and understanding and wisdom is that this is a fruit, all right? So that's knowledge. But wisdom says, but don't put it in a fruit salad. Wisdom is about something a bit more. And when you look back at an 11-year-old of what you were like, I mean, this one, I just wanted to pick out these things. He grew strong. He was filled with wisdom. Grace of God was upon him. They were astonished at his understanding and his perception. And finally, in verse 52, he grew up increasing in the wisdom and in favor with God and men. What a thing to have. What a thing to develop. What a thing to think I've got yet to increase in those things. When I think back to me as an 11-year-old, you know, I had some application. I had some application of understanding. And it was an emotional intelligence, and it was there. But to be frank, I never quite got school. I was only like when I got into senior school or went into college as a pre-apprentice course that I realized what it was all about. It was something you just went to. You just went to school. I don't know what it was all about. We had these big classes in our school. There was like 30 or 40 kids sometimes in our class. And you could just hide. It was just one of those things you had to get through the day. And there was rules and regulations. Now about this for wisdom. I'm 12. This is like a comparison of Jesus. I'm 12. My school, my class, there was a rule in our school that you had to go down one side of the corridor and not the other side. Do you ever have that? Well, my gang class, we all went down. It's kind of like big, you know, we came around the corner and there was this science teacher. And I'm telling you, he was a terror. He was there. You know, he didn't like getting into his class. I mean, I could tell you all kinds of stories about him. But we all piled up against him. And he said, right, what's going on here? So, and he started talking and shouting at everybody. And I was stood next to this lad and I said to him, look at his beady eyes. Look at his face. And it was going on like this. And my friend had more wisdom and sense than me. He said, Ken, shush, shush. So down. He said, right, you can all go now. Apart from you, the amused one. And I got the cane, so I really hurt. I can still remember it. And I was late then for the next lesson, and I got told off in the next lesson for being late. So he just smiled. So I was thinking, you know, here's wisdom for you, though, kids. You're only 12. In our school, we used to have, every school used to have the 11 plus. Do you know what that is? It's an exam that every child had to take in the country. And it would determine whether they went just to continue in secondary education or comprehensive education, or whether they were great enough and good enough to get into a grammar school. Well, you know, nobody ever really made it in our school. There was only like one or two ever did make it. And the top classes, they used to, like, it was unfair really, because they do revision. We never did any revision, didn't think about it. We just turned up. And the worst thing was, somebody said, this exam, it's on Saturday. Saturday? I said, I'm not going to that. They said, well, you best need to go. You best go because you get cocoa. So they only half my class just went for the cocoa. And, you know, I thought, the chances of me passing the exam are silch. So I didn't go. And I don't think anybody noticed. Now, on the intelligence level, on the knowledge level, that was very low, all right? But on the understanding and wisdom, I thought that was quite perception. I didn't waste a Saturday like anybody else. And you can keep your cocoa. Which makes me realise that Jesus at 12 was quite outstanding. That his ability to talk, to listen, he was an intelligent man. You know, Christianity is not about shooting your brains out and forgetting that you've got questions. The great thing about it is it allows you to challenge and question and look in and perceive things. And being a discerning person is what you're supposed to be. You're not meant to be gullible, stupid, just go along with everything. God wants to give you discernment, wisdom, insight, perception, and it's intelligent emotional intelligence, as well as intelligence just as, like, I know everything about the Bible and I can tell you everything. It's not about that. It's about having the ability to live properly before men and God. So isn't that amazing? I'll move on. This little book here, if there was a 12-year-old, I would have given it to them, which was just preparing for adolescence. Because actually, being a 12 has its challenges. And he just mentions three of them that, you know, being a 12-year-old that you face. Number one is, our society values three things majorly, but it values other things. But it values three things above all else. And one is looks, ladies, looks. You know, good looking, charm, and all the rest of it. And at 12, going on to 13, you get this kind of thing, which, am I up to it with everybody else? At that age, you begin to get interested in girls. I'm speaking from my man here. You know, and you don't think of Jesus quite in that category, do you? But he must have had an attraction also to say, well, that. But, you know, your appearance becomes very important. Your face becomes amazingly important. I remember standing in front of the mirror, and my sister, I was there for a long time looking in this mirror. She said, what are you doing? I said, I think my ears are too big. And then I used to get the train to college with another friend of mine, and he, to me, looked handsome. I mean, I think I was a handsome lad. The girls used to really think I was handsome. So I was. But nonetheless, I looked at my friend, and I thought he was handsomer than me. And he used to have a broader nose than I did. And I went through a stupid phase where for weeks I was pressing my nose, trying to get it more flattened out. Because our appearance becomes ultimately very important. Now, Jesus was not defined by that. He was not tempted. Only he might have been tempted to think, I'm not. And actually, the Bible doesn't say that he was particularly a handsome man. In fact, you know, if there are handsome people in the Bible, it will say that he was of fair form, or she was beautiful in form, and all the rest of it. But Jesus, it doesn't say anything about that. In fact, if anything, it says in Isaiah, there is no form that we desire him. He wasn't particularly worth looking at necessarily. But he managed, that was one thing on one side. The second thing that you can get stuck with is, you know, and there's a serious side on that actually. For a 12-year-old, yeah, I'm nearly finished. Another 20 minutes. For a 12-year-old, and the status, it's money, you know. We live in a world where there's increased poverty, difficulties, and all the rest of it. But nonetheless, we also have additional pressures. And for a 12-year-old growing up, it might not be that you don't get enough food, but you might not have that logo on your shirt that everybody else has got. There are status pressures, and we define ourselves by what we've got rather than who we are. And Jesus, obviously, his parents were poor. Whether they used the money, the gold, the silver, and the gold, frankincense, and the myrrh to fund the trip and then become refugees back into their country. So Jesus wasn't particularly a rich man. He was identified with the poor. So he didn't associate with that. So you think the one thing that he could lay claim to is his emotional and intellectual and his wisdom and his insight and his understanding. And at 12, he could have stayed in Jerusalem and been the boy wonder in an educational system that would have made everybody envious. You know, sometimes even parents don't add, or there's a pressure on education that if you don't make it, you know, you're stupid. I tried that many times to get my... I'm sorry, this is all about me. I tried that many times to get my English O-level that in the end I thought they should give me it anyway. It was only when... And they said I was a slow learner. I'm just about getting there. Because I got my A-levels, I got my O-levels and my A-levels and all those things, but they all came later. But, you know, there's a great deal of pressure on people succeeding academically. You want to watch the king's speech and you realise just how much pressure that young man was who became king from his father, who would say, he had a speech impediment, but he'd say, you're stupid. We define yourself by your intellect and your ability. But hey, here's the amazing thing to me. Jesus puts all that aside, and at 12 years old, he'd grown in an understanding that actually who he was something quite unique. He knew he was in his father's house. And he was able, at 12, to go back and submit himself to his parents. And in walking through that for the next 18 years, he did no miracles. But it says he grew in grace and stature and wisdom and acceptance with God and with men. You want an answer as a 12-year-old how to face some of these problems? Here's what I would say. Your life is not about how you look. Your life is not about how much money you may accumulate. Your life is not about how intelligent you are. Your life is about doing your Father's business. Amen. Oh, we all open this present. So the little ones. Where's the little one? Come and help me open the present. He's upset now. Come and help me to open this. Quick, I'm going to open it yourself. Anybody want a tomato? Come here. It's the catch of the day. And it was from my grandchildren. Do you want to take them round to some of the other children? Okay, can you do that? Any other children want to come and help me with give out some sweets? Yeah, you go and give those out to the other kids. And this was from my grandchildren. It's the catch of the day. And it's all mine. And as the captain said in the cracker, how do you communicate? How do you communicate with fish? You throw them a line. Oh. Thank you.
Thank you, Tim.